Minister Chihon. That
Madam Chair, I thank members for their questions and suggestions. Over the past 60 years of Singapore's nation-building journey, we worked hard as one people to overcome our challenges and turn them into opportunities. We developed our communications and transport infrastructure and built Singapore as a global transport hub. This remains a key growth strategy, one which strengthens our supply chain resilience, our connections to the world, and our geostrategic relevance. We equipped our companies and workers to succeed. Today, our homegrown companies, such as PSA, CAG, SIA, and SETS, are global leaders, bringing Singapore to the world and the world to Singapore. Equally important was how we connected Singaporeans to people and places at home through national projects such as the MRT system. As Mr. Satyandi Supat noted, transportation has played a vital role in our nation's development and will continue to do so. At this year's COS, we will build on our strengths to improve the way we live, move, and connect through three areas. First, stronger connectivity. Second, safer and more comfortable journeys. Third, more opportunities for businesses and workers. Let me begin with how we are building stronger connectivity through the land transport network, which serves about 10 million journeys daily. I'll start with our rail network. Our MRT system opened on 7 November 1987 with five stations, Yio Chu Kang, Ang Mo Kio, Bishan, Braddell, and Toa Payoh. From these early foundations, the network has grown significantly, with the North East Line in 2003, Circle Line in 2009, Downtown Line in 2013, and Thomson East Coast Line in 2020. We will add new stations or lines every year till the end of this decade. A few days ago, we opened Hume Station on the Downtown Line. By the middle of next year, we will close the loop for the Circle Line by connecting Harbourfront Station to Marina Bay Station via three new stations. In the second half of 2026, we will open Thomson East Coast Line Stage 5 and Downtown Line Stage 3 extension, linking these two MRT lines. Between 2027 and 2029, we will open parts of the Jurong Region Line, starting with Choa Chu Kang to Boon Lay and Tawas, followed by Tengah to Bandar Reservoir, and eventually connecting to NTU campus and Jurong Pier. From 2030, we will progressively open our eighth MRT line, the Cross Island Line, to connect the eastern, western, and northeastern regions. Madam, as PM said, we are never done building Singapore. Rail projects are major investments. They require careful planning, taking into consideration current and future land use needs, engineering feasibility, and potential environmental impact. It also requires political stability, as well as a strong government, which can plan long-term and have the ability and resources to turn these plans into reality, because the plans will span multiple terms of government. In economies that face persistent budget deficits, they would not have the fiscal resources to implement such long-term, large-scale projects. With your permission, Madam, may I display a slide on the LED screens?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam. Several members, such as Mr. Ang Wei Neng, Ms. Foo Mee Ha, Ms. Rachel Ong, and Mr. Leong Man Wai, had previously asked about rail connectivity in the Western region. Last year, SMS Corps and I provided updates on one of the projects which LTA has been studying, the West Coast Extension, or WCE. the government plans to proceed with the West Coast extension in two phases. The first phase will extend the Jurong Region line from Pandan Reservoir Station to connect with the Cross Island line at West Coast Station by the late 2030s. Under the second phase, our current plan is to further extend the Jurong Region line from West Coast Station to connect with the Circle Line at Kent Ridge Station by the early 2040s. This will enhance rail connectivity for residents in the West and support future developments along the corridor. It will reduce journey times to the city centre by up to 20 minutes. The WCE will also enhance the overall resilience of our rail network by providing an alternative via the Cross Island Line and to the city centre via Circle Line. Mr. Gan Thiam Poh and Mr. Ong Hua Han asked about a new rail line to serve residents in the north and northeast regions. When the Land Transport Master Plan 2040 was released in 2019, we had shared plans for feasibility studies into a new line. This line, tentatively called the Seletar Line, could serve areas such as Woodlands, Sembawang, Sengkang West, Serangoon North, Whampoa, Kallang, and the Greater Southern Waterfront. I hope it could also go through some parts of Toa Payoh. Feasibility studies are currently ongoing. We have also identified another corridor for a new rail line, tentatively called the Tengah Line. Similarly, feasibility studies are ongoing to address if such a line could supplement the transport network in the West and Northwest regions, serving areas such as Tengah, Bukit Batok, Queensway, and Bukit Merah. Based on LTA's prelim assessments, these two potential rail lines could meet at the Greater Southern Waterfront. Our feasibility studies will therefore look into the possibility of linking the two lines into a single line for more seamless connectivity and better efficiency for commuters. If studies confirm that these two new MRT lines are feasible, we expect to complete them in phases from the 2040s. It will benefit more than 400,000 households who will be within a 10-minute walk from this new combined line. For our MRT system to remain the backbone of our public transport network, our efforts must go beyond growing the rail network to ensuring that trains continue to operate safely and reliably for all commuters. This is a challenging task as our MRT network is an expanding system with many interconnected elements. The rail network relies on the dedication of 7,000 workers and the commitment of tripartite partners to operate smoothly every day. Over the past decade, we have invested heavily and made significant strides in rail reliability. We set ourselves a high bar to achieve 1 million mean kilometres between failure or MKBF, and we have consistently achieved this since 2019. MKBF is a reliability benchmark used by many metros globally, and the 1 million MKBF benchmark puts us among the top performing metros in the world. Madam, this is the result of strong tripartite commitment. Since 2020, the government has supported operators to improve maintenance and operation standards. We have also supported rail sector workers to strengthen their capabilities and improve productivity through training grants and productivity incentives. Maintaining high standards will become more challenging as our network grows. We have one of the densest networks in the world, and with more trains covering longer distances, sustaining a high reliability target of 1 million MKBF will require even greater effort. There's also a need to manage both newer and older systems and assets. I thank Mr. Saktiandi, Mr. Melvin Yong, Ms. Poli Sun, and Ms. Yuan Ling for acknowledging the hard work of our workers and recognising their integral role in maintaining a safe and reliable rail network. To further support these efforts, the government intends to invest up to an additional $1 billion over the next 5 years to further strengthen our rail capabilities and scale up technology adoption. This will enhance the way we monitor and maintain our assets. The additional funding will also support skills upgrading for our workers to keep pace with these developments. This move builds on the new Rail Financing Framework, or NRFF, where LTA handles asset procurement and replacement, and the operators handle asset maintenance. Under this framework, LTA holds our operators accountable for their maintenance of assets. We also have incentives and performance standards in place to ensure that operators deliver good, reliable service. If any operator does not perform, it could face financial penalties and miss out on incentives. This approach has helped us to improve reliability and achieve good outcomes for commuters. As more of our rail assets approach the end of their service life, we will need to invest more to improve life cycle management so that we optimise the lifespan of our assets while making replacements in a timely manner. The enhanced NRFF will allow us to expand monitoring capabilities for more proactive intervention and targeted maintenance. Carry out targeted replacements of subsystems and components to better sustain the useful life of our assets, and scale up the adoption of new technologies to boost maintenance efficiency and effectiveness across the sector. Our operators will continue to be responsible for the maintenance of assets as per their existing responsibilities under the NRFF. With the additional investments, LTA can better optimise the life cycle management of rail assets. LTA will determine, based on the condition of each asset, whether maintenance needs to be stepped up by our operators so that the asset can continue to run until the end of its service life, or whether the asset needs to be replaced early, or if it can have its service life extended. This will enable LTA and the operators to achieve high reliability standards while keeping a tight control on maintenance and asset replacement costs, which will benefit commuters and taxpayers. Beyond technology and hardware, we will also invest in uplifting the maintenance capabilities of our entire rail sector and enable tripartite partners, LTA operators and workers, to achieve higher levels of safety, reliability and resilience. We will strengthen training programs, provide more opportunities and incentives for workers to upgrade their skills, and support rail operators to drive workforce and operations transformation. We will also continue to learn from leading overseas metros and international rail experts to help us stay at the forefront of rail excellence. Over time, as workers upgrade their skills through upskilling and reskilling, they will be able to take on higher value jobs, improve their productivity, and earn higher wages. This will also help to further uplift standards across the industry. Moving to buses, we will continue to improve our public bus network to provide residents with convenient first and last mile access to the rail network and to amenities in their towns. Madam, I launched the Bus Connectivity Enhancement Programme, or BCEP, in July last year to better serve new and existing estates across Singapore. Mr. Gan Tiam Po asked about this. So far, we have introduced 10 new services and enhanced 36 services to improve capacity and connectivity for residents in Yishun, Denga, Aokang, as well as Mr. Gan's residents in Fernvale. LTA plans to introduce another 15 more bus services in 2025 across different towns, including Punggol, Bidadari, Yew Tee, and Tampines. As we deploy more buses, we will also give them priority on more roads to facilitate their movement and improve their reliability. LTA will add about 20 kilometres of new bus lanes this year, and more to follow in the coming years. I'd like to assure Mr. Dennis Tan and Mr. Faisal Manap that, as with all bus services, LTA will continue to monitor demand and ridership and introduce new services or enhancements where necessary, including in Hougang SMC and Aljunied GRC. Madam, we announced some moves last year on taxis and private hire vehicles. SMS Corp will provide an update on how we will improve the stability of supply strengthen contestability, and improve passenger experience and access. Madam Chair, the public transport experience goes beyond hardware and infrastructure. We must also pay attention to improving safety and comfort for commuters. Commuters remain at the heart of how we design our transport services. LTA has been progressively enhancing its infrastructure, working closely with grassroots advisors and community leaders to better serve our commuters and residents in different towns across Singapore. The design for MRT stations and bus interchanges have evolved and improved over time. For instance, newer train stations and bus interchanges, such as Punggol Coast Station on the Northeast Line and Buangkok Bus Interchange, are better integrated with residential and commercial developments, making them more accessible and vibrant. Our stations, interchanges, trains, and buses have also been equipped with more features to improve accessibility for passengers of diverse needs, such as family-friendly facilities and wheelchair-friendly passenger service centres. LTA has developed strong engineering capability expertise to build our large-scale infrastructure projects. We want to complement this by enhancing LTA's capabilities to integrate human-centric design with its engineering expertise. Just like how companies like Apple and Dyson are known for combining engineering with design to bring greater value to customers, we want to learn from such industry leaders and see how we can make key public transport nodes like MRT stations and bus interchanges more user-friendly, more comfortable, and more convenient. LTA is planning a multi-year effort to review and improve our infrastructure and services, guided by four E's. First, enhance. We'll improve the design of all our transport nodes to apply what we learned from building new lines, stations, and interchanges to enhance our existing infrastructure. Second, enlarge. We will enlarge the reach and coverage of our commuter infrastructure through features such as covered laneways, more benches, and additional escalators and lifts. This will also make it safer and more convenient for our seniors to age well in the community. Third, enliven. Our transport nodes can host more community activities, offer better retail and F&B services, and serve as venues for promoting the arts, heritage, and music to support our local artists and performers. Fourth, enable. Commuters can make better use of our spaces and services through improved signages, wayfinding, and digital services. And I would like to thank Mr. Ong Hwa Han for his feedback and suggestions. Madam, we acknowledge that in some of these areas, there is room for improvement. MOT and LTA are committed to making these improvements by learning from best practices here and abroad. As the North, South, and East, West lines have been in operation for over 30 years, I ask LTA to look into a multi-year program to rejuvenate the stations on these lines. We will study how we can do this through a station rejuvenation program for the North, South, and East, West lines. We'll review the upgrades required for each station, tailored to the station's ridership, footprint, topology, and surrounding developments. Yishun Station, one of our older MRT stations in Singapore, which is expected to become even busier with surrounding developments, will be the pilot project for this program. SPS Bay will provide more details. This station rejuvenation program will refresh our stations, making them more welcoming and user-friendly while preserving key heritage elements. Similarly, our bus interchanges have also grown into familiar community hubs for residents. We'll open new bus interchanges to provide more convenient transfers and refresh existing ones to improve commuter experience and comfort. In the coming months, we will open three integrated air-conditioned interchanges at Woodley, Pasir Ris, and Punggol Coast. LTA will also upgrade older bus interchanges, works have already started at Toa Payoh Bus Interchange, Singapore's first integrated transport hub. In response to Mr. Ang Wei Neng, commuters at Bishan, Bukit Merah, Eunos and Tampines bus interchanges can look forward to upgrades with new rain screens, additional benches and fans to improve their comfort and commuting experience. We also welcome suggestions and ideas from commuters. I'm glad that members agree with the government's vision to build a car-light society where walk, cycle, ride are the main modes of transport. LTA will set aside an experimentation fund to support ideas from commuters and work with them to jointly develop cost-effective solutions. While the vast majority of commuters are considerate and gracious, we need to protect the quality of their commute from the small minority of black sheep whose antisocial behaviours and actions cause discomfort and sometimes even endanger others. We will continue with our public education efforts, but we know education alone will not be enough and needs to go together with effective enforcement. I've asked LTA and the operators to step up their enforcement, which is the fifth E, by strengthening our regulatory powers and increasing the penalties to deter egregious commuters, especially repeat offenders and those who refuse to cooperate when they are advised by public transport workers. I thank members from both sides of the House, including Mr. Gan Tiam Poh, Mr. Lim Biao Chuan, and Mr. Dennis Tan, for expressing their support for strengthening enforcement against such behaviours. Another key aspect of commuter experience is safety. In July last year, we launched the Bus Safety Tripartite Task Force. MOS Morelli and our tripartite partners sought views from thousands of commuters, bus captains, and both local and international safety experts who shared their ideas to improve safety practices for the public bus sector. The task force has submitted its recommendations, which I have accepted. These include how we can equip buses with more safety features, facilitate their smooth travel on the road, and better support bus captains to provide safe journeys for all. Making roads safer for everyone also means that more pedestrians and cyclists can benefit from active mobility through friendly streets and road repurposing projects. SMS Core will elaborate on this. While we need to be inclusive to those with genuine mobility needs, we must also ensure the safety of other path users. SPS Bay will give an update on the implementation timelines for the changes to the safety rules for personal mobility aids that were announced last year. Madam, in Mandarin, please. 主席，我们将分两个阶段落实西海岸延伸线。第一阶段将在西海岸站衔接玉朗区域线和跨岛线，而第二阶段将会延长玉朗区域线并与环线衔接。西海岸延伸线工程完工后， 可缩短西部居民到市中心的通勤时间。此外，我们也将探讨新建两条新的地铁线。第一条暂定为十里达线，它将从北部和东北部衔接到南部滨水地区；另一条新的地铁线暂定为登嘉线，它将从北部和西北部 衔接到南部滨水地区。若这两条新地铁线是可行的，它们可连成一条较长的地铁线——十里达登嘉线，从北部通到市区，连接到西部。它在2040年后陆续完工，可让超过40万户家庭受惠。 我们巴士服务和地铁网络在提高居民的通勤便利是相辅相成的。我们去年推出总值高达10亿元的巴士连接增强计划 （BCEP）， 至今我们已推出了10条新的巴士路线， 并增强了36条巴士路线。在接下来的一年里，我们将在榜鹅、比达达里、尤茨和但比尼等地区再推出15条新的巴士路线，让更多居民受益。地铁站和巴士转换站的设计不断改进，今年我们将启动南北线和东西线车站升级计划，全面提升所有的车站。此外，我们也在推动巴士转换站的升级改造。在接下来的几个月，我们将开放物理、巴西利和榜鹅海岸三个全空调一体化巴士转换站。路交局也计划提升其他已经运营多年的转换站，包括了大巴窑和碧山巴士转换站。Madam, let me turn to my final topic of how we are providing more opportunities for businesses and workers in the transport sector. This government believes in the importance of planning long term and having the ability and resources to implement our plans effectively. This is how we develop Singapore into a global aviation and maritime hub, and why we have made significant investments in developing Changi Airport Terminal 5 and Tuas Port. These achievements do not happen automatically, and we should never take our hub status and competitive advantages for granted, given the intense global competition. Singapore remains a leading maritime hub, achieving new records in 2024. We will continue to build on this momentum to strengthen our competitiveness. MOS Murali will provide more details. Madam, I will share on our aviation sector, which has recovered well from the COVID-19 pandemic. For the 12 months ending February 2025, Changi saw 68.4 million passenger movements, representing a full recovery over pre-COVID levels. The air hub is off to a good start in 2025. With Changi's passenger numbers exceeding 11.5 million for the first 2 months of 2025, a 7% increase compared to the same period last year. We added 11 new city links in 2024 to places like Brussels, Guiyang, Fukuok, and Vancouver. Our strong performance would not have been possible without the collective efforts of the aviation community. I thank our tripartite partners from the industry and unions for their strong support in helping the air hub to recover and grow, and to our aviation workers for their contributions and hard work. Madam, the future of aviation is bright. Global passenger volumes are expected to double in the next 2 decades, with the Asia-Pacific regions driving half of this growth. As an international business center and a global air hub, Singapore is well placed to capture these opportunities. We will break ground for Terminal 5 in a few months. T5 will increase Changi's capacity by 50 million passengers per annum, on top of the current 90 million passengers per annum. T5 will also enhance our hub status and provide new and exciting employment opportunities for our people. Madam, Mr. Dennis Tan raised concerns that building T5 will result in more flights and higher aviation emissions. As a member state of the International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, and International Maritime Organization, IMO, Singapore is committed towards contributing towards ICAO and IMO's global ambition of achieving net zero targets by or around 2050. The United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change sets the global reporting requirements for greenhouse gas inventories. Emissions from international aviation and maritime do not accrue to national greenhouse gas inventories, and Singapore complies with this. Likewise, there's no benefit for Changi to move too far ahead of other airports when it comes to adoption of sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF. At last year's COS, I explained why we will start with a 1% target in 2026 to spur investments in SAF production capacity and increase this over time to 3 to 5% by 2030, subject to global developments and the wider availability and adoption of SAF. I believe this is a pragmatic approach because the cost of SAF is currently much higher than conventional jet fuel. And we need to strike a balance between sustainability and competitiveness. Several countries, including India, Indonesia, and the Republic of Korea, have also adopted a 1% initial target before ramping up in subsequent years. The UK started with a 2% SAF mandate in 2025, and not 10%, as what Mr. Tan said. Our approach is to enable our aviation sector to grow and improve environmental sustainability concurrently. We launched the Sustainable Air Hub Blueprint last year, which sets out Singapore's medium and long-term goals for international and domestic emissions and our plans to achieve them with stakeholders across the airport, airline, and air traffic management domains. Our air hub is a source of many good jobs for Singaporeans and a key enabler for many other sectors in our economy, such as manufacturing, professional services, and tourism. So I hope Mr. Tan is not suggesting that we should forego building T5, as that will bring more flights to Singapore. Madam, if our air hub is not competitive, planes will still fly, but they just bypass Changi. How is that good for Singapore and Singaporeans? This government cares about environmental sustainability, but we also care about the well-being of our people, our workers, and our businesses. As SMQO said, we are climate realists, not climate zealots. While our air hub is well-placed to ride the winds of growth, competition is intensifying. We are mindful about rising costs faced by aviation stakeholders. The government is committed to working with the aviation industry to improve our service levels, raise productivity, and reduce operating costs where possible. If we achieve cost savings, we will share this with our industry partners. One of the biggest advantages that Singapore has today over many competitors is our ability to work as one aviation ecosystem and the close tripartite relationship between companies, unions, and government. We must continue to leverage on this as we look at ways to enhance Changi's air hub competitiveness. To Mr. Mark Lee, Ms. Poli San, and Mr. Shairul Taha's questions, we will strengthen our support for Changi in four key areas: connectivity, infrastructure, innovation and technology, and manpower. CAS will commit $1 billion over the next 5 years to catalyze action and partnership in these four areas. And this is on top of the $5 billion top-up to the Changi Airport Development Fund that PM announced. Over the next few months, CAS will work with companies and union leaders, government agencies, and international partners to develop schemes in each of these areas that will help our companies and workers to thrive and succeed. First, on connectivity. Singapore's current network of over 160 city links connect us with the world, and this is a key enabler for our economy. We aim to build a larger network of over 200 city links by the mid-2030s to anchor Singapore as a key global node. CAS will work with economic agencies and industry to identify key links and then to develop schemes that can accelerate these new connections. Next, on infrastructure, CAS will work with aviation stakeholders to plan enabling infrastructure for Singapore Air Hub and to coordinate development across companies. It will provide funding support to accelerate the development of common use infrastructure that will benefit all airport users to support state-of-the-art, efficient, and cost-effective airport operations. Third, on innovation and technology, CAS will work with the industry and the research community to develop a 10-year technology roadmap to guide technology planning and to translate research and development into operational capabilities that can be deployed across the aviation ecosystem. The technology roadmap will leverage the development of T5 to set up living labs that can be used to test bed and grow new capabilities. Fourth, on manpower, skilled manpower is a key competitive factor for air hubs around the world. CAS will work with aviation companies and unions to grow a quality workforce comprising a strong Singapore core, complemented by foreign workers who are important contributors to Changi's overall competitiveness. We will invest in skills upgrading for our workers and redesign jobs to better attract and retain local workers. In this way, our air hub can continue to remain competitive and provide good employment opportunities for Singaporeans. Madam, besides moving people, Singapore's transport story is also about moving goods. We will strengthen Changi's position as a trusted, efficient and well-connected air cargo hub. Let me address Ms. Poh Lee Sun's question on how we will develop our air cargo hub. First, capacity. In the mid-2030s, Changi's handling capacity will increase from 3 million to 5.4 million tonnes per annum with the opening of the Changi East Industrial Zone. This will be complemented by the Airport Logistics Park 2 that was announced last year, which will also provide additional capacity to anchor logistics activities, including regional distribution centres and freight forwarding. In the lead-up to these developments, we will continue to work with industry partners to ensure we have sufficient capacity to meet growing air cargo demand. Changi Airport's largest cargo handler, SAT, has plans to invest $100 million over the next 2 years to upgrade its existing air freight terminals at the Changi Air Freight Centre. With this, SAT's cargo handling capacity will increase by 30% from 2.3 million tonnes to 3 million tonnes per annum and ensure it has sufficient capacity to support growing air cargo demand over the next decade. This is a good example of how we work together as a one aviation community to support one another and ultimately to enhance Changi's competitiveness. Second, capability. We will harness technology to uplift productivity and allow our cargo workers to optimize their time and resources. CAS and CAG are supporting the air cargo community to implement an ecosystem digital solution for truck, dock, slot pre-booking, with full rollout expected later this year. This transforms cargo collection and lodgement from a first-come, first-served basis to one that is pre-planned and better optimized. This will raise the productivity and efficiency of current processes, and the outcomes from the initial phase have been promising, with dwell time by truckers reduced by up to 30%. So I hope this can be scaled up and we can reap more benefits. Madam Chair, as a nation, we have come together over the last 60 years to improve the lives of Singaporeans and helped many individuals, many families to fulfill their aspirations. Transport has played a vital role in this. We built up major transport infrastructure, such as our MRT network, our airport, our seaports, and these have catalyzed and enabled the progress of our nation from third world to first. And we are still building. As we navigate through uncharted waters in an increasingly fragmented and volatile world, the key values from our transport journey remain relevant. Singapore must continue to stay open and strengthen our connections with the world. We will always place Singaporeans at the heart of all we do and work with tripartite partners to strengthen our social compact and grow our economy. And finally, we will take calculated risks and make bold long-term decisions as we venture out of our comfort zone to seize new opportunities. Madam, transport will continue to be an enduring part of the Singapore story. As an enabler to improve the lives of Singaporeans, to keep our world moving, and to ensure that we remain connected to the world and to one another. Thank you.